And I want to read from Psalm 32. This was written by David, who had sin that needed to be forgiven. It was very prominent in his mind, the sin that he had committed with Bathsheba, the immorality of it all. And this is a psalm that he wrote, Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom Jehovah reckoneth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And then verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity I covered not. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Jehovah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee at a time that thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they will not reach him. So David here was speaking about an experience that was very real to him. He knew that he'd committed a sin that was prominent in his mind, and it needed to be made right before God. And I would pray that tonight you might have that same experience with God, of being able to say, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. We have to acknowledge that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God many, many times, not just once. But I can say, I can honestly say, that I have asked for God's forgiveness for what I have done, the things that I've said, and the things that I have thought. And he has forgiven me through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that blood can avail for you tonight. I will speak a little bit more about that later. And his experience is that he said, blessed is the man unto whom Jehovah reckoneth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You can, the word blessed there could be rendered happy. And we can be set free and happy before God as those who have been forgiven, but only, and this is the critical part of the gospel, only if we come to God in repentance, that we acknowledge that we have done wrong, that we have gone our own way. Because that's what sin is. It's believing that our own will is the right way instead of God's will. That self-will away from God. But we need to come before God. And if there's things that are prominent in your mind, like there were with David, about the sins that he had committed, this evening, if anyone has a sin that's prominent and is bearing down upon them, and it's very real, then I would just implore you to be free before God and confess your sins to God and be repentant of them. That is that there's a turning around in your heart from the things that you've done and the things that you've said and the things that you've thought. And there's a turning to Christ. And it says here, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity I covered not. And I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Jehovah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I pray that in this room tonight, there might be one person who has that very real experience. It is a real experience. The experience of repentance, the experience of being given faith, and the experience of being forgiven, of that burden being lifted from your shoulders, so that you might be set free to serve God acceptably. And then I refer to Christ, and it's important in the gospel that always that there is a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how worthy he is. He is the centre point of the gospel. Without Christ, there really is no gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to set us free, and he bore the judgment of God. He took that burden that was due to us, the judgment of sin that is due to us and the consequence of our sins. He took that just judgment that was due to us and he took it himself and he bore it on Calvary's cross that we might go free. In 3 hours of darkness, we consider what he went through at Calvary's cross, the horror of the cross, the horror of being nailed to a Roman cross. Nails, think of that. The horror of it all, nails through his hands and nails through his feet. The horror of being scourged. The horror of his hair being ripped from his face. These things are difficult for us to comprehend. But worse than all of that, far worse, was the judgment of God against sin. When he was made a sacrifice, his soul was made a sacrifice before God that we might be cleansed from our sin. So that the burden that rests upon you, the judgment, if you haven't come to Christ already, that judgment is pending upon you. When you pass from this life to the next life, it's there and it needs to be borne. But there's the opportunity right here, right now, to, by acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, for what he suffered to be good for you, so that that burden, so that the judgment is taken away. And I pray that that might be your experience tonight. If you haven't come to him already, I just pray that you may do so tonight. These are simple words, it's a simple thought. I don't want to be long, but you look here in verse 6, and it says here, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee at a time when thou mayest be found." There is an urgency to the gospel. We do not know how long we might have. Things happen in our lives, unexpected things. But all we can say is that right here and now, the gospel concerning our Lord Jesus Christ and his self-sacrificing work at Calvary's cross is being offered to you in love from heaven, that you might respond to it. That's God's commandment this evening. Respond to the love of the Saviour. Come to him in repentance. Repent for your sin and know that precious gift of faith. What is faith? Well, it's knowing that what the Lord did was done for you personally. That Christ's sacrifice was for you. And that's a wonderful blessing to know in your life that Christ died that you might be set free. And he went through the experience of even death. He went through the article of death and then was raised the third day, that we might believe, that we might have that sure and certain knowledge that he is raised from amongst the dead and he is seated at the Father's right hand. How wonderful that is. Trust in Christ. Trust in Christ for everything. Take that free offer of faith that just means that what Christ did there at Calvary's cross was real for you, in forgiving you from your sin. Know his presence day by day. We often get sidetracked as Christians, unfortunately, and we find we're not living in the way the Spirit intends us to live. And we fail, we do. We have what we call the flesh with us as Christians. It's a battle that goes on through our entire lives. But the objective is to, as having turned from the things of this world and having seen our Lord Jesus Christ and the way that he has lived, that there might be a permanent turning from the sins and our old ways to a life in Christ, that we are a new creation in him, formed to serve him, formed to please him, that there might be a witness in our lives. And this is true, that people do see it, that there's a witness in our spirits and in our faces that Christ is alive and Christ has changed us that there's a witness in the way that we conduct our lives. Now, I know of an absolute certainty that I have failed many times in that respect. I've been a Christian for a very long time. But the Lord is able to come in and forgive. And repentance is required. I think it's an ongoing feature of a Christian, is that we get before God every day and repent towards him if there's anything that is not right in our Christian lives, that it might be that we might recover our joy in Christ. It will never alter our salvation. The sins that we commit as Christians, they can never ever alter our salvation. Once we're secured for him, we're secured for eternity. But sometimes things come into our lives that we need to get put right with God once more. Mm. And the first thing that we need to do is pray for forgiveness for those things. Mm. So that the joy can be restored. So that we can be truly living as Christians, representatives in this world. That Christ is alive. That Christ is real.
Yes.
May you believe these things for his name's sake.
Amen.